إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, in my last khutbah I started discussing the importance of harmonious marital relationships and how we can achieve them. And in that khutbah I discussed the importance of making sure that we pick our wives and our husbands carefully and go according to the advice of the Prophet ﷺ in picking a person who has the deen and the religion in him or her. And this is first and foremost in leading to a harmonious and a happy marriage. If a person does not have this, then the next steps will be very, very difficult. And other advices and other things that we talked about in that khutbah, which were important in leading up to a harmonious marriage. Today I'm going to discuss a verse which has been misinterpreted by a lot of people, and particularly is the cause of criticism of Islam in this day and age. It's a controversial verse in many ways, but if we see and understand what is the right meaning behind it, then that controversy goes away. Particularly if we use the hadith to understand the Quran, meaning we try to understand the Quran in the light of the hadith and the understanding of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, then we will understand this verse in a much better light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, verse 34, الرجال قوامون على النساء. The men are responsible for the women. The word قوام, it has been misinterpreted or misunderstood to make people understand or people think it means that the men are in charge of the women. Okay, meaning they are the bosses and they are the ones who have to have a stick on top of them, and the women have to obey in every respect to the man. And this is, you know, the furthest thing from the truth. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to listen to his wives, and he used to have problems with his wives. And this is well documented in the books of Hadith and the Seerah, the Prophet ﷺ. That even the Prophet ﷺ had problems with his wife sometimes. And to better understand this, we have to remember, first and foremost, that the wives of the Prophet ﷺ were simple human beings, just like me and you. And because of that, they were prone to deficiencies and human traits and human tendencies, like all of us. So whenever they became subject to these traits and they forgot that they were the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, then difficulties did occur between them. But it never got to a point where the Prophet ﷺ, you know, suppressed them and said, no, I am your boss and you have to listen to me. It didn't work like that. So this verse, الرجال قوامون على النساء, the men are responsible for women. The ulama, they say that it means that هذه الآية للتكليف ولا للتشريف. This ayah is actually a takleef. Takleef meaning when a person is given a responsibility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is known as takleef. And from that you have the verse, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give a person a responsibility unless he can handle that responsibility. So the takaleef of sharia, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and ordained to us and ordered us to do, they are known as takaleef. So this verse, الرجال قوامون على النساء, it is not for tashreef. It is not to show the status of the man, but it is to give the man the responsibility that he is responsible for the women. Meaning, he is responsible financially for the women, he is responsible to give them shelter, he is responsible to give them clothing, he is responsible to give them food, and so on. So it's his responsibility, and this is what this verse means. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men are responsible for women. And the next part of the verse says, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because of the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, meaning the fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, that they are physically stronger, they are mentally stronger men, so therefore they have to go out and earn a living and bring it back home and provide for the family. The woman is not responsible for that. Yeah? Not responsible for that. Even to a degree where if a woman does work, she is not obliged to spend her earnings upon the household. She is not obliged to spend her earnings upon the household unless she wishes to do so out of her own free will, out of a sign of love for her husband, out of a sign of respect for her husband. If she spends from her money that she has earned or she has inherited, then it's completely up to her. But other than that, she is not responsible by sharia to spend upon the household. And this is what this verse is talking about. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And because of the fact that they spend their wealth upon the women, upon their families. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what a pious woman is supposed to be, what a good wife is supposed to be. Allah says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. The pious women are the ones who are qanitat, meaning they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, again, it goes back to that order that we talked about of finding a woman who has deen in her, finding a man who has deen in him, which will result in people having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before usurping the rights and basically depriving the spouse of their rights. So, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتُ. The pious women are the ones who are qanitat. They are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ. And they are guardians of the hidden. Meaning they are guardians of what goes on within the household. And this حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ, it can have many meanings. It can mean حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ, meaning whatever is hidden within the household, they keep it within the household. They don't let the secrets of the household go out. And it can also mean that while the husband is away, they take care of the property of the house, they make sure they take care of themselves, and do not do something which is un-Islamic while the husband is away and out of the house. And many other meanings, بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. And this can only happen when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hafiz, He is the one who is the guardian of everything. With the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the marriage can work. And this can only happen when each of the parties involved, the husband and the wife, the spouses, understand what their responsibilities are. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian. After that is the most controversial of the verses which non-Muslims have been highlighting and targeting for the past few years, that Islam encourages and allows the men to abuse their wives. And this is very important to pay attention to the following part of the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنْ. As for the women that you fear their nushuz, as for the women that you fear their nushuz, nushuz means a disobedience or transgression and disharmony. If you fear their nushuz, then فَعِظُوهُنْ. First and foremost, you have to advise them. You have to advise them. Sit down and talk. And unfortunately, men are the weakest at talking. They don't want to talk. What happens when they are mad with their wives? They give the wives the silent treatment. The wife knows that something is up. There's a problem. She did something wrong. But the man does not want to talk about it. And this is exactly the opposite to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. Talk about it. Let it out. And for the most part, it will be a small misunderstanding that the woman might have just done without even thinking about it. And then when she is told that this is what you did and I didn't like it, she will immediately understand and she will apologize and say she will not do it again. But if we keep on keeping that thing in our hearts, then for the men it becomes a very big problem and it becomes a source of hatred for the wife. That thing keeps gnawing away within a person's heart because he's not opening up about it. There's a saying in English that a problem shared is a problem halved. When you share a problem, then it halves the problem. It diminishes the problem. The problem is solved. But if you don't share it, that problem will never get resolved. So the first thing that we men have to do is make sure that we are open to communicating with our wives. And this is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do, فَعِظُوهُنْ, that advise them, talk to them. And if, perchance, the advice doesn't work, talking to them doesn't work, then the next step is, وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, that you should separate the beds. Separate the beds. And this will be a very difficult stage also, because women, they require comfort and they require, you know, the closeness of the relationship. And separating the beds will result in that closeness going away and that closeness diminishing. So therefore, this will be the next step in the woman understanding that things are really going wrong here and she needs to really try her best at making sure that the husband is happy. And some scholars even go to a degree of saying that وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, that separating the beds is not actually physically separating the beds, but a man sleeps on the same bed but turns his back away from her, this will make her understand that something is wrong. So it's not even, you know, according to some scholars, actually separating the beds. And the last point, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ, and this is the controversial part. The order is that beat them. Beat them, hit them. Now, this order is not that a person abuses his wife to a degree that she gets bruises and a broken nose. We had a woman a few weeks ago who came in with a broken nose. Her husband had broken her nose and she was bleeding and everything. So, for a man who is physically more stronger than a woman, for him to exert that physical strength upon a woman, it is something which is unacceptable in Sharia. This is not acceptable. And we have to understand this verse in the context in which the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, understood it, and how the Prophet ﷺ practiced it. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you are the ones who are the best to their families, and I am the best to my family. And we can never find in any report of the hadith or the seerah or the wives having complained that the Prophet ﷺ had actually raised his hand towards them. Never happened. So if you have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then we have to avoid this at all costs. And the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they understood this word wadribuhun in a very different context to the context in which many people understand it. And unfortunately, in many cultures, we find that people are misunderstanding this verse. If you please move forward, inshallah. Fill up the space in front, there are people coming from the back. So if we look at the tafaseer of this verse and how the Sahaba understood this verse, you will find that they say that this ضرب which is mentioned here, meaning the beating that is mentioned here, it's ضرب غير مبرح. That means a beating that does not leave a mark. And when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked, what is the meaning of ضرب غير مبرح? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that it means كَالسِّوَاكْ وَغَيْرِ كَالسِّوَاكْ وَغَيْرِ. It's like a person hits his wife with a siwak. Siwak is like a small toothstick, a very thin toothstick which is about 5-6 inches long. What kind of harm can that do if you hit your wife with a small stick like that? So this is the understanding of what the Sahaba had, the understanding that the Sahaba had of this word wadribuhun. It was not to be abusive to your wives. It is not to beat them up and give them broken noses to a degree that they have to call the police on you. This is not what is meant. But when a woman, she has an understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, she understands what the Quran says, and the husband, he punishes her with that siwak, she understands that this is the final stage. And then after this stage, the only thing that can happen, it can lead to divorce, so I have to straighten up. Okay, she understands the Quran and the Sunnah, and she understands what the ruling is in the Quran, she will know that my husband has now reached the end, and I have to straighten up, otherwise it will lead to divorce. And then, actually the next verses talk about divorce. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا. That now the situation has got to a point of divorce, and there is shiqaq between them. Shiqaq meaning there is a separation between them. Then what happens? The other family members get involved. حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. One family member from him, one family member from her. And إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they both want reconciliation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give them the tawfiq of reconciliation. Otherwise, then the stage has been set for the divorce to take place. So the stages of reconciliation between the husband and wife are that فَعِظُوهُنْ, first and foremost advising. The second stage, وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, separate the beds. And the last one is وَضْرِبُوهُنْ. But وَضْرِبُوهُنْ, it should be understood in the correct context, that the context that the Sahaba understood it and the Prophet ﷺ understood it. There are certain ahadith which talk about this subject. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said in a hadith, يَعْمِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ فَيَجْلِدُ إِمْرَأَتَ. There's some people amongst you who make jild of their wives. Jild means whipping their wives. جِلْدَ الْعَبْدِ, like whipping a slave. In those days they used to have slaves. So he gave the comparison of whipping his wife like a person whips his slave. And then he says, فَلَعَلَّهُ يُضَاجِعُهَا مِنْ آخِرِ يَوْمِ. That on the one hand, he gives her a beating, and at the end of the day, he is so shameless that he wants to fulfill his desire with her at the end of the day. How can it be? that on the one hand he's beating her, and on the other hand he wants to fulfill his desire. How can it be? It is just shameless. So, to prevent that from happening, we don't resort to beating and abuse of our wives, and this is what this hadith is telling us about. The other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ gave a very good advice. He said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا. A mu'min, a person who has iman, he should not bear any grudges or any, should not despise the wife. إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. If he dislikes one point of her akhlaq, there are many, many other points that he will be happy with. And the fine point that we can understand is, we should all look at the good points that we all have within us. We should look at the good character that we have. What the shaitan does, he comes and puts wasawis in our hearts. And he makes us focus on that one point that we really hate. And that thing becomes a means of arguments and hatred and so on and so forth. But if you just turn that waswasa around and say, yes, okay, he or she has got a very bad point, but he's got 100 other good points. She's got 100 other good points, and we should focus on those. Understanding that nobody is perfect. No human being is perfect. We can never find, and we will never be able to find, a human who is 100% perfect, like an angel, who will make us so happy that we will never argue with them for the rest of our lives. It's never going to happen. So when this is the case, and we've got married to this person, we should look at his or her good points, and this will result in a harmonious and a happy marriage. There are other hadiths which I don't want to go into because we're running out of time. But the summary of today's khutbah is that we have to try to fulfill the rights of our wives as much as possible and take care of them as much as possible. This subject, inshallah, we will continue to discuss in the next couple of khutbahs because it's an important subject. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. There's a few announcements to be made. First and foremost, we welcome all the guests and visitors to ICI. Everyone is requested to donate at least $20 for ICI operational expenses. We've announced many times before that the operational expenses in this masjid exceed $30,000 per month. So we have to cover that with the donations that we get on a weekly basis. So please try to do your best to donate and set aside at least $20 per week before leaving the masjid, inshallah. Please show courtesy in the parking lot. Please do not park on the streets on the other side of Esther's. The police will give you a ticket today if you are parked in the neighbor's driveway. The calendar of 2008 is available at $10 each. It is a beautiful calendar with various pictures of Masajid. Please buy your copy. The Texas Muslim Women's Foundation is doing a November toy drive for sick children at the Children's Medical Center. Please donate new and unwrapped toys. Today is the final day of this drive. There is a questionnaire on Islamic healthcare facilities in the US. Please stop by in the lobby and fill out the survey. There's a brother who's doing a PhD, and part of his dissertation is filling in a survey. And this is to benefit Muslim people who are afflicted with the disease called Alzheimer's disease, which people are afflicted with in old age. It's a disease of forgetfulness, a kind of dementia, and healthcare facilities which are present in this country are oriented towards non-Muslims. So he is conducting a survey as to what kind of facilities would be appreciated and liked by Muslim patients who are unfortunately afflicted with this disease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. So you are requested to spend like 5 minutes to try to fill out that survey to help out the brother, inshallah. You've heard that we've had a few deaths this week. Our assistant principal, Sister Shahnaz, her mother passed away on Monday. You requested to make dua for her. In addition to that, we had another couple of tragic deaths. Two youths, 18 and 19, or that age, from Arlington, Muslim youths were killed in a traffic accident. in the highway, their car crashed into an 18-wheeler, and basically they were killed on the spot. So again, first and foremost, we have to learn our lesson from this, that death is something is not reserved for people who reach 75 or 80 or 85 or 90. It can come to us any time. We should always be prepared for our death. And our preparation for death is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. The question we should ask ourselves, if today Malakul Maut comes to me, then what am I doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today if Malakul Maut comes to me? If the death angel comes to me? So if this is not the case, then we have to turn our lives around and prepare ourselves for death. Okay, and like I said, the preparation is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from his disobedience, to live our lives in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And again, we request everybody to make dua for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them maghfirah, give them all a high place in Jannah, and forgive their sins. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.